In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. So listen to the noises you hear. This is a church that is alive. Thanks be to God. So one of the things that has been most striking to me about the tragedies that keep coming across our national news feeds, such as the slaughter last week at the Tree of Life Synagogue, is the spiritual condition of those who would commit such crimes. They project a concentration of anger, hatred, and contempt. Now, what I've noticed in myself and in my relationships with others, is that when people are hurting inside, it is then that we are tempted to manifest that hurt as anger and contempt toward others. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, says Jesus. And so it is with our actions as well as our words. Our internal realities shape, in very practical ways, our external world. Now, the bad news is that people often feel powerless to choose what it is that fills their hearts. Right? People often let their hearts get filled by voices of drama and outrage and us versus them. And the results of this can be deadly, as we saw last week in Pittsburgh. The results can be tragic, as when a marriage unravels or family members become estranged. The results can be suffocating, as when a person finds herself swamped by depression or addiction or hopelessness. Now, the good news is that we do get a choice. We do get to choose with what to fill our own hearts. And our encounter with the world is very much shaped by the attitudes we cultivate in our hearts. In a real sense, the world is what we make of it. And that's the kind of choice that baptism is all about. That's the kind of choice that our gospel is about today as well. In our gospel account today, we read of Jesus' encounter with Martha and Mary and the recently deceased Lazarus. Now, the backstory is that Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die. He was given warning ahead of time. But Jesus delayed going down to see Lazarus. Jesus waited on purpose until Lazarus was good and dead. And so it's a strange story, and it doesn't put Jesus in the best of lights. Mary and Martha could hear their friends asking, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" We hear that question, and we have to admit, they have a point. Mary and Martha were struggling with a world in which the death of their brother was overwhelming and final. But Jesus was inviting them to a new understanding of reality, a reality whose most essential feature is the certainty of God's love for them. Jesus showed his friends that death is no hindrance to his love and care for them. Jesus' attachment to his friends would not be stopped by any obstacle, not by Lazarus' death, not by Martha's reproach, not even by Mary's faltering belief. Jesus invited Lazarus to come out of the tomb, Mary to come out of her bitterness, and Martha to come out of her doubt. Jesus' love for his friends was stronger than any barrier they could throw up. Jesus' love is complete, perfect, and unconditional. And that is exactly the message of baptism. That's what we celebrate today. This is why we baptize an adult or child, in order to introduce them, induct them into a new understanding of reality. We are telling them something about their own relationship with Jesus. For parents, baptism and the choices it represents are a gift given to the child in hopes that the child might approach life with a strong inner belief in her own belovedness, and thus the capacity to project the love of God into the world around her. We make many choices for our children, don't we? We choose that our children should take baths and brush their teeth and wear clean underwear. We teach our children the basics of courtesy and about thinking of others. We teach our children to exercise discipline, and we require them to finish their homework before they start up with Netflix or video games. We make lots of choices for our children, some of which they don't understand, some of which they don't like, but all of whom we hope will bear fruit to their benefit in their lives. We seek to shape the inner world of our children so that their outer worlds might be better places to live. Baptism, belonging to a church community, guidance in living out our baptismal covenant, is one of the best gifts that you can give to your children. You are planting seeds, creating habits and commitments that will serve your children well. You are shaping their inner lives so that their outer lives may reap the fruit of that hard work. These seeds of love that you are planting in your children are the best hope they have of building a life that issues forth in a harvest of beauty, compassion, and joy. Our outer lives are shaped by our inner lives. If we know that we are loved, that makes a profound difference in how we are able to live. There are so many things that interfere with that conviction of our own lovableness. Right? There are tragedies, there are disappointments, there are struggles in every life. There are things that make us ask, why does God let this happen? And I'm sad to tell you that I don't have a good answer for you. There's often not a good answer to why. Instead, there's the message that Jesus brought to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. It's the same message Jesus brings to us, and that is that God weeps with us as we encounter evil in the world. And nothing that we can ever think or do or say is an obstacle to God's love for us. The struggles we encounter in life do not define us. They are not our primary identity. What is most important about you and about me and about every human being is that we are loved by our Creator with a love that is complete and perfect and unconditional. This is the love that can shape our lives as we hold it in our hearts. This morning we commit these children to the care and the love of that God. And the commitment we make this morning is not changing God's opinion of these children. God loves them already. The commitment we make is changing our perspective on our responsibility to these children. We acknowledge that they are God's possession, and we are responsible to raise them up, to know that they are loved completely, perfectly, and unconditionally. Today we tell these children the story of God's love for them, and we are offering to them an inner story that will have potential to shape their external reality in important and life-giving ways. That is the story that will enable them and us to face whatever comes our way with hope, courage, and confidence. This is the story that enables us to love.